Hey, if you guys got your Bibles, and I hope that you do, if not, we'll put it up on the screen. We're going through the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 11 this morning, and we're going to open up in prayer and then get into the Word. We need to be praying over our government officials and over our community and over our churches and over our pastors. Pastors get weird and discouraged too sometimes, and we want to make sure that we're lifting up all of our pastors in our community that are teaching the Word of God, that God continues to strengthen them and encourage them and give them vision and direction. You know, it's hard for somebody who is discouraged to be the encourager. I wonder if you've ever had to be that person where you're just totally discouraged, but yet you got to kind of be the one that everybody looks to have encouragement. And it's hard. It's really difficult. And so we want to make sure that we're praying over our pastors, that God gives them strength and vision and endurance and even a little shrewdness, right? To like toughen up their skin a little bit and get after it, because the work is great and we need to still be about God's business. Regardless of what's going on, we got to be about God's business. So let's open up in prayer and we're going to get into the Word. Father, we love you. Thank you for your Word this morning. Wherever we're at in the Word, Lord, there we are in life. So I pray that you open our eyes and speak to us, Lord, every one of us. Father, we've come to hear a word from you. We've come to see Jesus and how you work in our lives, Lord, the way you're directing us, leading us, changing us. So have your way in this word, Father. We want to pray over our country, that you protect it and guide our leaders and give them wisdom. And Father, we pray for an end to all of this crazy. But in the meantime, Lord, I pray that while all this stuff is going on, Lord, even if it doesn't change, Lord, that you're changing and developing us, strengthen us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke chapter 11, we're going to be starting in verse 5. Jesus now, in this part of the book, we're almost halfway through the Gospel of Luke, and he's working his way now towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. He's been in ministry about a year and a half, and at this particular point, he's been investing a lot into his disciples. He's been pouring into them. Last week, we were talking about how Jesus was actually teaching them how to pray, because sometimes we get prayer wrong. We come to the Lord all wrong, and he was telling his disciples last week how to pray. You remember the disciples' prayer. It's not the Lord's prayer, right? When we were talking about the Lord's prayer, we're like, our Father who art in heaven. That's not the Lord's prayer. That's the disciples' prayer, because the Lord is teaching the disciples how to pray. Do you guys remember it? I hope you took some notes. When he said, pray like this, our Father, meaning that's the connection that we have with God, a parent and child relationship, who's in heaven, meaning he's above everything that's going on here. Everything's crazy and everybody's looking to somebody to fix and sort out the issues. But Jesus said, that's the Father. Our Father who's in heaven, he's above your situation. He's above my situation. He can handle what's going on here. And then he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you guys remember the word hallowed? Hallowed was to set apart as holy. But Jesus said, pray that God hallows his name. Which was cool, because what that meant was pray that God works in your life according to his character and attributes that he has. So God's a forgiver, God's a healer, God's a strengthener, God's a provider, right? And so when we're praying, we want to come to God as a parent-child relationship, hallowing his name. In that, we're saying, God, we want you to work in our lives according to your character, because sometimes we need God to heal us, right? Sometimes we need God to provide for us. Sometimes we need God to direct us and give us wisdom and things like that. And so he says, hallowed be thy name. Like David said in Psalm 23, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Meaning that what God does in us is an example to those around us, right? I mean, who would want your Jesus if your Jesus wasn't doing something in you, right? I don't want to, if I was on the fence about who I was going to serve the rest of my life or put my life of eternity in somebody's hands, I wouldn't want to put it in somebody's hands who's thrashed. where there's no victory, where there's no provision, where there's no forgiveness, there's no help, there's no direction, there's nothing. And so what God does in us is a reflection to those around us. Whether whatever, our financial situation, our businesses, where we work, what we're doing, people see Jesus and what he has done in your life, and that simply means hallow your name in my life. Praying that, God, I want you to work in me according to who you are. And so now in verse 5, Jesus gives them this story about being persistent in prayer. He says in verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed and I cannot rise and give to you. And then in verse 8, he says, and I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. Say that word with me loud. Persistence. This is so important. Because of his persistence, that he will give him as many as his need, as he needs. And so this must be a pretty good friend. I mean, anytime you can go and knock on somebody's house at midnight and ask for something, that's a pretty good friend. Because how many of us, if somebody came over to your house at 12, 1 in the morning and was banging on your door, what's the first thing you're going to do? Get the gun, right? You're going to be like, man, this friend is going to have an accident on a bullet, or I need to make sure that we're protected. Who is this outside of my door? And Jesus is like, man, this is a good friend. This guy's there in midnight to provide for his friends. And Jesus said that this guy's locked up. He's in his jammies. The kids are in bed. The dogs are put up. And he's like, forget about it. But there's this issue about persistence. I don't know if you've ever gone to a store that was closed and they said they had the open sign open. Have you guys ever done that? I went to Dairy Queen this week and they close, I guess at like 8:30 or whatever, but they shut everything down on the outside at 8. And I pulled up at 7:58 and I had this guy in front of me. He was just ordering and ordering and ordering forever. And then right when I pull up, they turn everything off. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, are you guys there? Are you guys there? And I'm freaking out because I had to get my Oreo Blizzard. And they were there, thank God. But you know, if you're ever in those situations where you're in need of something and you don't get it, your heart starts pounding, you kind of start freaking out a little bit, you get nervous, and then you know you start bribing the people at the cashier, look, just stay open, I'll give you an extra 5 spot, I just gotta get this, my wife needs Dino Bites right now, right? And so there's this persistence about us. I know that for Vicky, if there's things that I want, and married couples, you guys get this because your husband's gonna want stuff. And then your wife's going to want stuff. And then we go into this situation where we're asking for what we want. And when I get, if there's something I want, and I ask Vicky, I don't shut up. I don't know about any of you guys, but man, I've got a way to try to wear my wife straight down. In fact, Vicky will tell me, she goes, your mom must have just wanted to kill you because you don't shut up. You don't shut up until you get what you want. And it's kind of true. You bring it all these different angles and you keep persisting and persisting and going off on it until they give in and they're just like, fine, do it. Don't even ask me anymore. Just buy it. Don't ask. I don't care. Just go for it. And that's Jesus's point. Persistence pays. It does, right? Or it'll make somebody separate. But Jesus is telling them, he's like, listen, when it comes to God, persistent pays off big time. What Jesus is saying is this friend was shamelessly persisting until he got an answer. And that's the attitude that God wants us to have with him in prayer. Listen, treat it like a golf club. Treat it like a Kawasaki green truck. Treat it like, like you're going to go get some Mac products at Ulta. Whatever. The point of it is be persistent with God in prayer. And I think one of the problems is that Jesus gets, that he sees that we have, and the reason why he's making such a big deal in this in prayer is because he knows that we can get so discouraged when we don't get instant results in coming to God. I mean, think about it. We live in microwave, prime, Amazon Prime, microwave food, all kinds of 5G, right? Everything we got to have it right now. And I think there's a part of us that goes to God, and when he doesn't answer right away, we can get completely discouraged and just kind of figure like him not answering is a no. But God wants us to persist in prayer, right? I know if you have kids, like say they're from 2 years old to, I don't know, 8, and they come to you and they ask you for something and you don't answer them, what do? Do they just go away? Have you ever seen them just go away? Does your kids ever just go away? If they come to you and they ask you, because my grandbabies come to me and they'll say, Papa, I want snack. And I'm like, well, go ask your mom. No. Why won't they go ask their mom? Because she already told them, heck no. No snack. So they come to me. And so when they come to me, and I know what's going on, I'm getting played. I'll kind of sit there and I'll just act like I'm watching. I ain't going to answer. And you know what they do? They come like little raptors, like little dinosaurs. Here comes one, Papa snack. And if I don't say anything, here comes another one. Here comes Esther, Papa snack. And then here comes brother, Papa snack. And I got all these three around me like that are going to kill me unless I get up and get them snack. I get up and I get them snack, and then I just tell Cicely, you're gonna have to deal with whatever happens on the way home. But the point of it is, listen, Jesus wants us to stay in persistent prayer. This guy was obnoxiously persistent. So check out verse 9, Jesus shows them the pattern of persistence. He says to them, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened to him. So Jesus gives us this pattern of when we're being persistent. What is it? Ask, right? You come with them to God, say, hey God, I need this. We seek, then we start looking for it in our life. You know, God answers prayers in weird ways. And you start seeking. And then you start knocking. But the point of it is that there's this progression of constantly turning it up a notch if you're not getting an answer or if you don't think you're getting an answer. Ask, seek, and knock. That's what he's saying. And here's why. Because there's a promise to that. When we're staying persistent, and what's the promise? That everyone who asks, seeks, and knocks is going to get a response from God. Now think about this, a response from God. Could you imagine if you got a text right now from Taylor Swift, or maybe you wouldn't want that text, I don't know, it depends on who you are. But let's say Taylor Swift gave you a text, and it was her, or it was the president, or maybe it was the former vice president or whatever. Or maybe it was like Billy, you know, someone like Greg Laurie or something. And you got this text, wouldn't you be stoked? I remember when Instagram kind of first came out. How many of you guys are familiar with Greg Laurie? Just raise your hand. How about, okay, Greg Laurie is like the pastor of pastors. This guy does all the crusades in California, has led millions of people to the Lord. And on Instagram, it said, Greg Laurie is following you, Pastor Jason Santoni. And when I saw that, I kid you not, I took a screenshot and I started sending it to all my family members. I said, hey, check this out. Look who Greg Laurie's following. But it turned out it was a hack. It wasn't even the real Greg Laurie. And I was so upset about it. And I remember, I think it was Guy. He was like, are you sure that's Greg Laurie? I'm like, yeah, check it out. But they had ganked his profile. And I was so excited about it. But you know what? God wants to connect with us. Above anybody in this world, God wants to connect with you. Is that nuts? That God would want to send us a text, get involved? But so that's what he's saying. Jesus is saying when we persistently reach out to God, that God's going to reach out to us. And we need to be about it right now, persistently, about our church. That we regain traction. I mean, I'm not going to lie, if you look around, we've taken a hit. And we need to regain that traction into our community and that momentum that we were having before this virus came, influencing our community. But man, it's been crazy rough. We want to be in persistent prayer. God, I'm praying over Ark Bible Church that you bless it, that we're an influence in our community because so many people need to hear the word. Praying over the other churches in our community because they've all taken a hit. Everybody's taken a hit. And by the way, even when COVID is gone, people are going to be afraid to come back. That's just kind of the way it is. But we want to be in constant prayer over our children, over our grandbabies, over our friends, over our parents. Some of us have got parents that are living alone, that are struggling. They're dealing with some difficult things. And we want to be in constant, persistent prayer because God answers prayer. And so Jesus gives the reason why we can be persistent with God like this. It's because of our relationship with him. Check it out in verse 11. He says, if a son asks for bread, a son asks a bread, any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so your heavenly Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So Jesus is making this, again, this picture of our relationship with God as our Father. And he says, being that you guys are sinful, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. I mean, think about for just one second, if your kids were starving and they came up to you and they're like, Dad, Mom, I'm so hungry. Can you make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And you're like, yeah, and I'm gonna put some scorpions on it. Yeah. Or, yeah, I'm so hungry. And they're like, yeah, I found this snake in the yard. Eat that, kid. Yeah. And you're all happy about it. Nobody, unless you're just like the worst parent in the world, you're not gonna be treating your kids like that. And that's Jesus's point. He's like, if we'd never do that, God surely wouldn't do it because he's much more holier. We get that. And he wants us to know, I think, really, that we can trust the Father more than anybody we can ever trust in our life. Some of us have good relationships with our parents, but you know what? We can trust God all the more because he's good like that. And he wants us to get it. Sometimes we don't feel like we can fully trust God, I think. You know, last week when he said, your kingdom come, thy will be done. We said, our prayer is, I have a plan, you know, bless it, my will be done. Because sometimes it's kind of hard to totally trust, like everything, if you're honest, to God. But that's why Jesus is saying this. Listen, you got a Father who loves you, who's going to do the best for you. And so there's a saying that's said, trust is earned, not given, right? And if you look over your life, has God earned that trust? Has the Lord earned trust with you? I know he has. I know he has in my life. And that's exactly why Jesus, the Bible, all throughout the Bible, it says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding because we get things wrong. And then you remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he says, in this world, you're going to have troubles. Trust in the Father and trust also in me. Why? Because we got a good Father that we can trust. And he says, if any of you guys are able to give good gifts to your kids, how much more so the Father gives the Holy Spirit? Now that's interesting because if you read in Matthew 7:11, Matthew says that Jesus used the word good things. How much more so will God give you good things? And the reason why is because Holy Spirit is synonymous with good things. Sometimes we need wisdom. Sometimes we need strength. We need wisdom on what program we're going to be putting our kids through in school or how to run our business or dealing with cuts in our income. We've got to have wisdom on how to redo things that got all messed up in our life. We need strength. We need joy. And he knows that. Sometimes we're feeling weak in our flesh, thinking bad thoughts, having a bad, nasty attitude just for no reason. And we need strength. And when we come to God in through the name of Jesus, and we're saying, hey, listen, Jesus is like, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's gonna strengthen you guys. He's gonna bless you guys with wisdom and stuff. And so I think that part of that is God could do anything without us asking, right? But why do we gotta come to him in persistent prayer? What's the point? Why doesn't he just do it? And I think the reason for it is in my life that I've seen is because although my persistence doesn't change God, I do think that my persistence changes me. I think it changes the way I see him. I think it changes the way that I acknowledge him. I think it changes the way I depend upon him. And that's why God wants us to be so persistent. I think there's a prideful issue too, that we try to do a lot of things on our own apart from God. I was thinking about this the other night when I was watching Vicky try to change a light bulb. Now she's short. My wife's like 4'11 on a good day. And I was watching her trying to change this light bulb, and man, it was the most pathetic thing in the world because she's just like, she can't get it. And I'm watching it and I'm thinking, gosh, if she would just ask me, I don't even need a chair. Like I could just go up there and do it. And the Lord was speaking about things in my life on how Jason, if you would just pray more, you could struggle so much less. And that's what he wants. He wants us to connect with him persistently, going after him. And so I wonder if there's been some things in your life that maybe you've been praying about lately that you've given up on. I wonder if there's some stuff in your life where you just felt like you weren't getting an answer and you were done with it and God's passed you up. But I believe what Jesus is saying here to you, what he's saying to me about this, is dust that thing off. Whatever that prayer has been, whatever that has been in your life that you've let go, that you just thought it was a dead deal, it was done, there was no answer, God didn't care. I believe this is God's word to you this morning, seriously, to tell you to dust that thing off and bring it before him and get busy about it. Be persistent about it, because God's going to answer us when we go before him. God wants to show up. He wants to do for us. That's the way he is. And in this particular story, he's not this grumpy old neighbor who is like, hey, go away, beat it. I'm in bed asleep. My kids are with me. That's not God. And I think sometimes, if you're like I am, sometimes you can see God as asleep or maybe doesn't want to get bothered. But that's why Jesus puts us in check. And he's like, listen, this isn't a story of comparison. Jesus is not saying God the Father is a creepy old neighbor. It's a contrast that, listen, if that's the way that is in the world, contrastly speaking, our Father's vastly different, so we can come before the Lord for anything and any time and anything that we need. And so now we go into this next section. Check this out, where Jesus has been dealing with his disciples, and now he's going to deal with his haters. In verse 14, it says, and he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes had marveled. Now, I used to have a shirt that I got from somebody as a gift, and it was called I Love Haters. And you wouldn't believe how much hate I got for wearing that shirt. It was the craziest thing. You would think people would be like, oh, right on, that's great. But they were so hateful about me wearing that shirt. And it started making me hateful to where I didn't love my haters anymore. I was getting angry at people. And I was thinking about how easy it is to wear the shirt so different and actually doing what the shirt said. And what we're going to see here from here on out for the rest of the book of the Gospel of Luke is Jesus is now dealing with his haters. And he's doing it in such a way that's really incredibly merciful and gracious. And it says that Jesus, in the situation that he comes upon this guy and he's got possession by this demon, it's a spiritual battle. Everywhere Jesus went, when you look, he was in a spiritual battle. And because Christ is in us, wherever we go around, there's going to be a spiritual battle with us, right? We're always going to be in a position where we're fighting not against flesh and blood. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, right? Because we can get it wrong. This person's so rude. This person's so ignorant. I can't stand the pride that comes from this person. They're liars. And we can look at fleshly battles, or we can look at spiritual battles and think, man, this is a thing of the flesh, but it's actually a spiritual battle that there's things going on. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're praying, fasting, and we keep pushing. And so Jesus delivers this man who's mute by demons. Now, what's interesting about that is that this guy couldn't speak. And what the Jews believed was that unless you knew the name of a demon that possessed you, you had no power over the demon. And that's kind of crazy that someone would think that if you could only fix the situation yourself, you could be healed, right? We think about people like that today. If they would only get off of the dope, then they wouldn't be on dope. If they would only get off of this, they wouldn't be on that or whatever. But the reality of it is we need Jesus, right? We gotta have Christ. So these Jews, they thought because this guy was mute, he couldn't say the name of the demon, he could never be free. But that's not true because Jesus frees. And this is what happens. He steps up in this guy's life and he gives the man freedom. And the question comes up about, is there still demon possession today? And yeah, there is. How are people possessed? By opening their life up to it. It's the same way as to how people get possessed by Christ. That the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, how do we fill up with the Holy Spirit? We give invitation. So no matter which way it is, invitation invites possession, right? So when we're like, well, how do people get so messed up? Because if you were to ask someone who's lost everything and their mind, and you were to look and ask them at 12 years old, did you have this planned out where your life was going to be completely and utterly destroyed? At 12 years old, like a counselor, a career counselor, is that what you want? No one signed up for that. Not one person out here on the street signed up for where they're at today. But they're involved in it big time and it's ruined their life. All you got to do is go to Starbucks today and see what I'm saying is true. How did it happen? Invitation. When we invite certain things in our life, now as Christians, we cannot be possessed because we've got the Holy Spirit, but we can be influenced. And there's that old saying that you can choose your sin, but not your consequences. And that's a reality. As Christians, we can still be influenced by demonic stuff. The question is, are we going to open up to it? Are we going to let our eye entertain it? Are we going to let our ear entertain it? Are we going to mess with it? Because invitation, no matter what, will lead to possession. No matter who you are, even Christians can end up in bondage again. We see it all the time. And here's why. Because at some point, they were opening up to it. So we can be saved. We can still be saved, but yet still live a really messed up and whacked life. And that's not God's intention. And so Jesus heals this man. Check out verse 15. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. And others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself will fall. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? And because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. And then Jesus says in verse 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so Jesus is dealing with these two groups of people, where one group of people are challenging Jesus, they're wanting to argue with them. And I think what that is, it's kind of like a bait and switch move, where if you're losing an argument, and I don't know if you've ever been in an argument with somebody where you're winning, and then they just default to, you're stupid. They call you a name. They're just like, you're ignorant, you're dumb, you're stupid, or whatever. And what that does is that deflects the issue from them having to deal with it because they just attack you as a person, right? And that's what they're doing with Jesus. They're just trying to attack Jesus. And what does he tell them? He says, listen, a house divided against itself can't stand. So if you've got a house where you've got a couple living in that house, and one of the persons in the relationship is cheating, hiding stuff, lying, and doing shady garbage, and there's that division there, or there's that constant fight there, guess what? That's not going to last very long. It can't last very long. There's going to be a gnarly situation where everything starts falling apart. And so Jesus is saying the same way, whether it's in a church or at your job, whatever the case is, if there's division there, it's going to fall apart. But Satan is united in his kingdom, is what he's saying. And this is what we're going to wrap up with. If Satan is so united in his kingdom, how much more so as Christian brothers and sisters do we need to be united about God's kingdom? About having unity with each other in our church and in our community, because sometimes it gets easy for that to all come apart. And so Jesus, he says that Satan is the strong man. And Satan is the strong man. But he said that there's a stronger man, and that's Jesus. So Satan is strong, but Jesus is stronger. And it's in Jesus that we have that freedom. There's no reason why anybody should be in bondage with Jesus because he's the stronger man. And so let's close up in prayer. Worship team, come on up. You know, as we're closing that out, I wanted to ask you guys about what is it in your life that has seemed to be really strong? And maybe you're doing well. Maybe this isn't for everybody, but there's just been a persistent issue in your life that you're really having a problem with. Jesus wants you to know that he's the stronger. And that we can come to God as a father. And that he breaks all of that bondage up. When we can't do anything for ourselves, Jesus came to do it for us. We saw that in this mute guy. This mute guy, he couldn't speak. He couldn't say what was going on. He couldn't tell people around him what was happening inside of him. He couldn't make it known to the people around him. They saw the effects of it, but he couldn't talk about it. And I think a lot of us have that going on where we just can't talk about everything to everybody. But Jesus is stronger. And so no matter what it is, we can bring it before the Lord this morning. Would you guys stand as we close out in communion this morning? And Pastor Mac is going to come down and pray for whoever needs prayer this morning. If you've got something in your life where you need Jesus to be stronger, come on down during communion and get prayer over it. I'm available after service, and Pastor Mac will be right here praying over us as well. But the Lord doesn't want us living in bondage to anything. And so, Father, we come into your presence today, and Lord, for those of us that are struggling with influences, Lord, first of all, we give you thanks that you've saved us. We honor you, God. We love you. We're so grateful for your sacrifice, your life for sinners. Father, we're so grateful that while we were a total mess, nobody had to clean up, nobody had to get it right, nobody had to pull it together. But just as we were, just as we are, you gave your life for us. And I just want to, Father, I want to lift up everybody in our church that maybe like this mute man just can't open their mouth. They can't talk about it right now. Whatever the situation may be in their life, God, that you would break through. Father, that you would encourage them, as we saw in your word, that we can come to you persistently. Lord, that we take it serious and that we don't give up. coming before you because you hear, Lord. You respond. You react. You do things only in the way that you can do them, Lord. And so, Lord, if there's somebody here that's been tired of praying, maybe they've given up on a situation, an issue, Lord. This is your call to them to dust it off, pick it back up, and to get busy about praying again. And to keep praying, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, Lord. Because you hear, you answer, and we thank you for that, Lord. We love you. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross as we take communion this morning. That the cross is about forgiveness of our sins. It's about you shedding your blood and your body, Lord, that we may have eternal life with you, Lord. We thank you. And I pray that now if there's any unforgiveness in our heart towards anybody who's wronged us, that right now we settle up with it. Lord, as you've forgiven us, I pray that we forgive those around us. Lord, that we can be healed all the way around from our bitterness and all of it, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice. We love you, Jesus, in your name. And the church said, amen.